This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QUEERFAM for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is supported in part by Thrive Cosmetics and also by Lightstream. Lightstream is the nation's premier online consumer lender, who offer low-interest fixed-rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose. This episode is also brought to you in part by my children screaming in the background because, well, mom life. I am a lesbian.
Black queer human being.
We are two gay dads.
I am a transgender man.
Trans woman.
Bisexual, non-binary, single parent by choice.
Could I ever have nice things? I just want nice things.
He just got spit up on. Hey, E.
Hey, J. What up?
We're back.
We're back.
We're back for season 10.
Season 10. How have you done it?
Can you believe? I don't know. It's been 4 years of seasons back to back.
Okay.
And here we are, and we're still going, even with the recent changes.
Yes.
That have happened. Robin has left. We miss Robin. And we have E now, and we are still moving forward. And I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. This will be my first full season because I came in and did a little chicka chick with season 9. Now I'm here. Like,
you're here.
I feel like an NFL player.
Queer. Get used to it. Is that how you feel?
Well, in the sense that I just feel like I'm on the team now. Like I was.
You are.
In the trenches, kind of learning it. And now they're like, game time. You get to go out there. So I'm like running on the field. That's how I feel.
That's what you're doing. You're running on the field with me. And what's so funny is you're still learning, which is hilarious. We just had a moment earlier where he was like, oh, I was talking to all these people and I got them to sign up. Go to the link and sign up. And I was like, sign up for what? What? You mean subscribe?
Subscribe. Yes, subscribe. All these word changes.
We're getting there.
There's lots of word changes.
I feel like
our community of all communities should be good with like the name changes and the word changes.
Right. But some of us don't like it. Some of us do not like the name changes because I don't know about New York and San Francisco, but in Jersey, you were femme aggressive, soft butch, soft stud, Superman. I don't know. Whatever. It was all these little weird labels and studs with femmes and femmes with studs. And it was so stupid. But it's what we grew up in. So trying to tell people that now there's something different is sometimes challenging.
We're trying to create a more open and inclusive labeling, I suppose, because it's really hard to not label ourselves, which is sad. But I mean, you just recently had a change. You just...
I did.
Came out as non-binary, so...
I did. And I don't even know if I've came out. I just realized, oh, this is the right label for me. And then I had friends say, well, why do you got to do that? Why can't you just be a she who's aggressive or a blah? And I'm like, because it doesn't have anything to do with that, right? It does. It's how I see myself. So. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, one of your my favorite things that you said was, I learned that I can make the words fit me and not have to fit into the words or what. I don't remember what you said, but you said it.
But it's true. I can choose my words instead. Like when you're born and you have female anatomy, they immediately assign you not just as having, because scientifically I know what I am, right? But how I see myself and my expression is not she nor he. But explaining that to people people over 50 is like, I am trying to fuck with their whole understanding of life. I'm not people.
It's hard. Oh, changes are hard. Transitions are hard. And we should know because we're in a major transition with a whole new host.
Is it hard?
It's not. It's actually lovely and wonderful. But yes, it's had its moments where we're trying to figure it out. And it's challenging. But
how was your summer?
I mean, the summer has come to a close. My summer was great. Here's my biggest highlight of the summer. Right. Are you ready for it?
You want a drum roll?
Thank you.
You're real.
Thank you. Yes. My nephew came out to us, my wife and I, and my kids, as non-binary.
Wonderful.
And yes, and we threw them this coming out party, and I was like a little bit nervous because they came out, and I was like, okay, in my head, I'm thinking, all right, I can handle it one of two ways. I can just make it seem like, oh, okay, great. Thank you for letting me know. That's great. Or I can like make this a really big deal and a celebration. I went that route. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Thank you for telling us. This is so cool. I'm so happy for you. I feel so honored and privileged that you have chosen us to tell. Thank you so much. And then like my brain just couldn't stop. And then my brain was like, we need to throw a party. We need balloons. We need a cake. We need da-da-da-da-da-da. And that night, you know, and it was on vacation, so like there was drinking involved. And then that night I was like, oh shit, I might have gone too far. But the next day I talked to one of their moms and I was like, oh my God, let me know if that was too far. We don't have to do this party. And my friend was like, I think they're really excited about it. It's really good. So we went forward with the party. We made like this like pink and purple and yellow cake for the colors and like we did the whole thing. And my nephew was so happy we did it. And like it meant the world. They came over to me and were like, thank you so much. That really meant a lot. Thank you. So like that's my highlight. I feel like I handled it good.
I think that's beautiful.
And I'm really proud of them.
I'm proud of you because think of the coming out stories that we had and that we've experienced.
They told me, can you please refer to me as nephew?
Okay. But they get to say, oh, my coming out story, my fabulous aunties threw me this crazy party and they even had a cake wow, you're starting a new history. That is beautiful. Well, good job, family. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's get into yours. So what's happening with you, E?
Lord have mercy. What's happening with me? It's been a beautiful summer. I had surgery. I had surgery on my hands because I had carpal tunnel. And E was like,
it's going to be nothing, Jay. It's just going to be a snip, a snip. I'll be right back to work.
It was a snip. And I was awake. It was only a local, y'all. So
I can't. Okay, wait.
I won't get into it.
We put this on our Patreon. So if you want to hear the whole story about this fiasco that I can't even handle,
go on Patreon. Anyway, that's done. But the big surgery I'm prepping for, here's the highlight of my summer. Mm-hmm. is that I'm having skin removal and breast reduction surgery.
Big stuff. Because I don't know if our listeners even know that you had had, what's the name of the surgery you had had?
Let me rewind. I had gastric bypass, the sleeve, in June of 2020. So during the pandemic, mm-hmm. as everybody is going out, I thank God had this surgery because I was 335 pounds and it was very necessary. Since then, mm-hmm. I've lost 125 pounds. And wow. when you lose, thank you so much. And I've kept it off for over 2 years. And so now mm-hmm. I'm eligible to get the skin removal surgery. Mind you, I want to be real clear, America. This is not me just being vain.
In the rest of the world.
In Switzerland. This is not me. And South Africa and Australia. See, now I feel like I got to go through.
We don't have to name them.
All right. Thank you,
the world, universe.
The multiverse. Metaverse. Yeah. Fuck him in that meta. Anyway, let me stay on track.
Okay.
So it's more about when you have excess skin, it rubs, it's not pretty, it gets rashes, but it's horrible. And as we age, our skin gets more tissue paper-like. So my doctor was like, look, mm-hmm. you're healthy, you're young, handle this shit now so you don't have problems at 80. And I was like, fuck, okay. And then, of course, breast reduction. So here's the thing about the non-binary journey. I'm too afraid to jump right into full breast removal. Because I mm-hmm. don't know if I'll be okay. Like, I am taking this shit in stages. Mm-hmm. So I'm going as low as we can go and look in proportion. The healing mm-hmm. process, I'll be in binders and shit for 3 months. But the healing process mm-hmm. is about 2 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to do for y'all. I'm going to do a before and after picture. But this will be the first time in my life, number one, having a flat stomach. Number two, being able to...
Flat?
I don't even understand. Dang.
I don't either.
And then I'm not going to have to wear a bra. Think about it. I started wearing a bra at 9 years old in Woolworths. My grandmother put it over my clothes.
I'm just going to be sending positive vibes, and all the listeners out there are going to be sending positive vibes for this, that's going to be happening. And I'll be doing my best to not check up on you all the time. But we got to move on. There will be more on Patreon about all of this. But before we get into our guests, which we have to get into, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Patreon. If you want us to keep sharing these super important LGBTQ+ family stories, which I'm sure you do, you can help. We've got various tiers in our Patreon community starting at just $2 a month.
Just $2. Come on. It's less than a cup of coffee because you can't get a decent cup of coffee for $2. You'll do a good thing and to get bonus content like videos of most of our episodes dropped a day early. Crazy behind the scenes shenanigans trying to get our life together and anything else we can think of to post. It'll keep you entertained and engaged. So
yeah, we're trying to keep you entertained and engaged. So you're going to head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join. So go ahead and do that. Okay, our guests.
All right, go ahead.
Cade and Max. Might know Cade from the recent HBO documentary Nuclear Family. Cade is Rye's sister who created the documentary. And so Rye basically took years of footage of their family and put it into this really powerful documentary about the struggle and court case they went through when Rye's known donor sued them for custody. Mm. It's
a powerful documentary. I mean, especially for our community and our families. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to have to get on it and go watch it.
And Cade and her husband Max join us to...
I had a flashback to the interview. It was
And they tell Cade's side of the donor story, as well as the story of how the two of them met and decided that Max would ultimately become the gestational carrier for their gorgeous child. Mm. That's all you need to know. This is a full circle LGBTQ+ family story, y'all. So let's just get into
Let's
roll that tape. Helen. She's like, I told you I didn't want to be back. I'm not ready to be back. Hello, Cade and Max.
Hello.
It is so wonderful to have you here. This is a very exciting talk for us.
Very much looking forward to it.
Great.
So are we.
We got to get into who y'all are. So we're going to put up a little timer. You got 30 seconds to tell us who you are and why you're here.
All right.
Got it. I'm pulling up the timer.
I'm ready. Yeah. It's a challenge.
Action.
My name is Cade Russo Young.
I'm a native New Yorker and second generation dyke. My parents were my family was the first lesbians in history to win a court case against a donor. We were the subject of the recent documentary on HBO, Nuclear Family, and the past PBS documentary, Our House. My husband, Max, was our gestational parent, and we're here talking to you about Nuclear Family and our journey to parenthood.
Woohoo! Boom. Yes.
Mic drop. You know what, E? You didn't even turn the timer.
I did. Did the timer go? And I pulled it down. Yeah. Oh. It was perfect. It was like 36 seconds. So you're great.
Oh, beautiful. No, you did great. You covered a lot of bases there. A lot.
Yeah.
You fill a lot of boxes in our queer parenting community. I'll tell you that much.
I gotta say, though, hearing that you said second generation dyke, I was so excited hearing that. Like,
me too.
Oh, that's right. We can say second, and kids will be able to say third generation until it's so... That's really beautiful. That's really beautiful.
I mean, I love my daughter no matter what, but really crossing my fingers for a queer one. You know, like...
I feel you.
Do you think your moms wanted queer kids?
I know that they did. When I came out, they were like, When I came out, they said to me, you know, we love you no matter what, but we're really glad we got a queer one.
I love that. And my daughter, like, you know, my daughter's 8 now, so we talk a little bit about this stuff. And I'm trying to impart to her that I don't care, you know, whoever you are, is I love you no matter what. I'm trying really hard to impart that. But I wouldn't mind if she was queer. I want her to be whoever she is, though. Of course. I want her to feel comfortable being whoever she is.
Yeah.
Being queer is pretty badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty badass. Yeah.
So let's go into this. You are a second generation. Did you say second generation dyke?
I did.
Yeah.
I love the word dyke. And you guys were, you all, I'm trying to not use the binary you guys. And the listeners know this, and I keep slipping, but you all.
Mm-hmm.
Were the subject of the documentary Nuclear Family.
Yes, the most recent documentary, Nuclear Family, on HBO and HBO Max, now streaming.
And I was really enjoying it. And the Juliet comment in the beginning,
I was just
like, oh, when your sister did the documentary, right?
Yes, so my sister directed and produced the documentary about sort of our whole family, just our whole life, my parents' love and relationship, and, you know, how my sister and I were conceived and came into the world. We were both conceived with different known donors, our early relationships with those known donors, how they soured, how we were sued by my sister's known donor when I was 11 and my sister was 9. The sort of harrowing court case, the 4-year court battle that we initially won in family court in 1993, that was precedent setting. And then the appeals process that went on for an additional 2 years, and sort of just the aftermath of all of that, this trauma of that,
right.
And how we've all come out of it.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds heavy.
Heavy story.
Can I ask before that, though? Because so there's 2 years between you and your sister.
A year and a half, 18 months.
18
yeah.
months. So are you, what's your relationship now?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or do you want to start?
We are incredibly close.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We've always been incredibly close.
It seemed like it from the documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, we're incredibly close, and we've always been incredibly close. And I think our closeness stems in part from being these first wave kids, you know, part of having to be these like trailblazers in a way, and put on. It's difficult to discuss without like sounding sort of, but I can't think of the word right now. But like when you are a first wave kid and you do something like this. We were sort of the face of queer families in the 80s and 90s. So it was this moment for us to say, to have to represent and say, you know, queer families can raise normal children. So I think we felt the pressure of that. I think me in particular, less so my sister, but I think me in particular, in a lot of different ways, having to perform very well at school, having to seem straight, first of all, for a very long time and act very straight for a very long time. But all these things, like not act out, you know, all these sort of baseline normality things that you would think of children.
It's a lot of pressure to be the first.
Yeah, we were under a lot of pressure. And I think both my sister and I felt that on a lot of levels. And also we were literally the only ones in our school and that we knew, even in our school and outside of school, with gay parents. So we had this like shared, on some level, aloneness, which brought us closer. And then with the case, we had to really present as this united front family, which also brought us all so much closer together. And my sister and I, because of this, really created this incredible bond that has lasted now into our 40s.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That's amazing. And I want to say, you are not the first, you know, we've spoken to many children of queer parents, and you are not the first to say this exact thing. Like they felt like they were kind of the poster children for the community. You know, you said that your family got closer from the trauma that you experienced. Could have gone the other way as well.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, we all came out of it with battle wounds and scars, but we all came out of it with a real deep, deep, deep connection.
Before all of the coming out to the public, before all of that, what was it like to have Juliet and Juliet as mom? Because that just seems like, oh.
So what was so wonderful about it was that we would sort of like go out into the world where we were misunderstood, but we came home to this house full of love, full of love, full of laughter. And that was modeled first and foremost by the love between my parents.
Yes.
Oh.
And, you know, it was definitely also modeled in how my parents refused to acknowledge biology. And what I mean by that is how their whole concept of a family was that biology does not create a family. It's that love creates a family. You know, people used to say, like, who's your real mom? Oh, Rye's not your real sister, because Rye and I are not biologically related. And they would not stand for that. So we made it actually a family policy of not telling people who, because one mom carried one and one mom carried the other. And we made
which is how my wife family. And I did. Yeah.
And we made an absolute family policy to not tell anyone who carried who. And I think times have changed and people, you know, are more lax about that now. But in the 80s, when people were so biocentric and the concept of a lesbian family was so foreign.
Yeah.
It was still a lot more foreign than it is now.
Exactly.
I mean, it's still not, we're not there yet.
Well, I mean, but just to give you a sense of how much times have changed. It was 1979 and my parents could not go to a sperm bank to get sperm.
Wow.
And sperm banks existed then.
Exactly.
It just was not open to lesbians.
Yeah. So they had to use known donors.
Right.
I mean, they also, for personal reasons in my mother's own life, in which she was prevented from knowing who her biological father was, she also chose to use a known donor.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about on this show the intentionality that us queer folks bring to our families and our family building. And you're just illustrating that so beautifully. You know, we start the planning of our families way back. Like you said, your mother decided to choose to do a known donor because of her childhood, right? And that's a decision that queer couples have to make. How are we going to make the baby, right? And it's the intentionality just goes, and then it continues on throughout our child rearing, throughout the child's lifetime. And you just made me think of one moment. You're talking about the bio connection. And I share a bio connection to one kid and not to the other. And we're very upfront and honest about it with people. And we were just visiting my family in San Francisco recently. And an old family friend came over and she had a baby picture of me that she brought. And she was like, look at this. Oh, my God. And then everybody in the room, oh, my God, it's Orion's face. That's Orion's face. And everybody in the room. And I was going with it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Oh, my God, that's me. That looks like me. And then I had a moment. My daughter was sitting right there. I had a moment. Shit. I have to figure out a way to dial this back a little bit. I don't know how she's feeling, but if it was me, I'd probably be feeling a little left out at that moment. So I had a moment with my daughter and we had a moment where we winked at each other and we did. But that's my point is the intentionality we bring to all of these things is so deep and rich. And yes, we fuck up. But because of the inherent nature of our families, we have to find ways to fix our fuck ups
right. So
that we can try to make our children okay. Does that make sense?
It does. And so with Tom, my sister's donor, it was clear very early on that he was favoring my sister because of a biological connection. And he was being very mean to me as a very small child because we were not biologically related. And I've talked about this before, but like what's been so beautiful for me is that at 35, I found out I would not be able to get pregnant or carry a healthy fetus to term.
Oh.
And I had no idea how I was going to create a family. And then I met Max, and Max carried our child, and I had a non-biological baby who I was able to love so completely in the way that I was not loved.
And it was your sister's donor, right?
And it was, you know, so transformative for me. I've been able to love my daughter so completely, you know.
She's yours.
Yeah.
She's yours.
She's so completely mine.
All right, folks, let's take a second to talk about money. We all know that when it comes to creating these very intentional families, in many instances, not all, but many, we are going to have to fork over some serious moolah. And before some of us can even get started on that road, we have to get rid of the debt that we already have. The struggle is real. Debt is real. But listen, there are options. If you are getting ready to gear up for this next chapter in your life, and chances are you are, because why else would you be listening to this podcast? We may have a way to help you possibly get rid of any high interest credit card debt that you have accumulated in your beautiful child-free lives with a company called Lightstream. A credit card consolidation from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. And here's the info about it. Rates start at 5.73 APR with autopay and excellent credit. Plus, here's the good part. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan, which is important. And you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees associated with it. And just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OCT. That's lightstream.com/OCT. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OCT for more information. Get rid of that debt. I got to tell you, when this documentary came out, when I saw the ad for it, I looked to my wife. I was like, oh no, I can't watch this. I got really scared because, you know, as queer parents, we want to know that what we're doing is that it's going to be okay, right? And no, I can't hear a bad story about our families. They can't do it. But watching it, the way your moms handled it was so heartwarming and gave hope, even though you all went through such a terrible thing with the known donor suing. the way you handled it as a family and talking to you right now and how you say how close you are and how much love you have for your family, it is warming my heart. It's giving me hope. And so I'm so glad that we're talking with you and hearing your side, because we didn't really hear your side when we watched the documentary as much.
You know, we had to, I mean, not testify, but we were interviewed by these court-appointed shrinks. And they would, you know, say, who's your family? Like, you know, tell us about your life. And it was so easy. I mean, it was difficult. You know, it was draining. It was horrible. But it was very easy to say, like, this is my family. I have two moms. I have a sister. I have a dog and a cat. And
I go to school like everybody else. And
like my mom takes me to school. You know, I have seen these men, like, once, twice a year. They do not play a role in my life. It was while it was emotionally draining and emotionally difficult, because there was this constant thought of, I could say the wrong thing and I could be on a plane to California at any time. Like, I really did think that there was this deep, deep fear. There was also a truth about my life that this is just my truth. Like, this is my family.
Right.
And because of your family, we get, you know what I mean? Because you all were pioneers, whether you wanted to be or not, it's been that much easier for Jay and I's family. You know what I mean? And we keep telling these stories. And that's the thing. I love this podcast. Yes. I mean, I'm now co-hosting, but even when I wasn't co-hosting, I was listening. Hearing the different stories is so important, because it normalizes. And now my son, who's 11, he's like, yeah, I got four moms, because my ex-wife and I, we're divorced. Yeah, we're divorced, because I said ex-wife. And she's remarried. I've remarried. So he has four over 40, you know, Black queer parents. And so I ask him all the time, well, what are you going to do? He's like, look, everybody loves me. I'm good. It doesn't matter. I said, well, do the kids say anything? He's like, what are they going to say? Like, you know, lots of people have two moms. I'm worried about it. He has no worry right now. And this is a little Black boy who's in the world. Like, yeah, so what? So I think it's because of trailblazers in our community, like your parents and your sister putting them together documentaries like that, that my little boy just thinks, you know, who cares? I'm still going to do what I want to do. Can I play with my phone? Like, that's all he really wants. Can I play Roblox on my phone?
Can I play with my phone?
It's just not deep to him.
Yeah. And it's really thanks to you.
So thank you, your family, for putting that out, because that's vulnerable. Even, you know, the court case was a whole thing in 93. I understand. But just the documentary itself and the emotions and the stuff that it brings up. When you knew your sister was doing this, did you have a moment of, heck no, what are you doing?
I don't understand. My sister has been doing this for 20 years.
You guys have a lot of footage. You all have a lot of footage.
Yeah. My sister has been interviewing us for this documentary literally for 20 years.
In a way, like,
I have been on film since, I mean, there is no piece of
There's
my
no
life.
Privacy.
But I think that's one thing about this doc that I found very unique and very wry in that way, is this wasn't, she woke up out of bed one morning last year and was like, I'm making this doc. She's been doing this for so long as her own way of processing, I presume, the whole situation. So she has been able to have interviews over time with the family about the situation. So putting it all together, it's so intentional from her part that this is a story that she wants to tell from beginning to end. And it gives a very different picture. And you sort of see Cade, there's a bit of Cade when she's a lot younger being interviewed, and you see how she reacts then versus how she reacts now as a parent. And I think that's one thing about this doc that makes it quite unique than other docs.
Yeah. And that's a quality that I love, to see the life progression in, I know it must have stressed y'all out because it's 20 years and it's all the time in your face and asking questions. But as a viewer,
puberty, I mean, it was the whole life.
It feels so like not, I don't want to say voyeuristic because that gives it a connotation I don't want, but I love that feeling of seeing the whole spread. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Honestly, because it's one thing in a movie, but in a doc, this is really happening. Mm-hmm. I know it annoyed y'all, but she put it together so lovely. So how did you guys meet? Tell us your Juliet story.
I'll let you tell it. She's a better storyteller in general than I am. And she adds a lot more color. So I'll let you explain the whole thing.
You can start us off, Max.
Max, you can intersperse with whatever.
I'll pepper in details. So to be quite honest, we met on Tinder. Swipe right for the love of your life.
POF, so I understand.
And we met, and I have to be honest, I really wasn't paying attention to the bio portion. I just saw this beautiful person in the picture, and I was like, got a snag. And then it turns out that Max was in a relationship at the time. Oops. I thought this wasn't going anywhere. And I thought we would sort of just have a little bit of fun for the summer. And it's funny because I had always been in relationships where I was sure it was going to go somewhere, and it never did. And this was the first relationship where I was sure it was never going to go anywhere. And here we are.
Isn't that how it works out? Oh my gosh, all the time.
And so what happened?
Yeah. Did you get out the relationship? I mean, you got obviously you got out, but.
No, I ended the relationship with my past partner for unrelated reasons.
Totally.
And Kate and I talked. I mean, I think she was very surprised.
I was
very taken off guard. Surprised. I think to this day, I've actually never seen her as surprised, to be honest.
I have to tell you, I was literally in the dining room of my parents' house having a conversation with them. And I said the words, Max will not leave his girlfriend. But what Max has shown me is that I can be in love, someone can love me, and he's like turned the lights on in my life.
Yeah.
Aww.
And then my phone rang and I picked up my phone and I said, hold on, Max is calling me. Let me just take this. And it was Max calling me to tell me that he had broken up.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, you have got
pretty funny.
Oh my God.
Okay, I have a really big question. What sign are you guys? Now, Jamie's going to laugh at me, but I think these things are important. And I'll tell you why. I just read this whole report in the New York Times that was talking about how it's not as out there to talk about the moon, stars, and quasars and people's signs and compatibility, because it is actually based on the science and like the moon, the stars, and the quasars. So it's actually more relevant. Aha! Okay. Then, like, religion. But
So, Kate is a full Taurus.
Yes! I was sensing Taurian energy. Okay, what?
And I'm a Taurus Aries cusp towards the beginning.
Oh, so that's a great combo there.
Yeah, honestly, whenever I tell people my sign, they're like, oh, that's good. I was like, no, I'm aware. And then I had a coworker do my chart, and she was like, this is excellent. And I was like, no, I know. And then I had her do my daughter's chart, and she was like, ugh, this is fabulous. No fire. And I was like, it's great. I know.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, I'm all fire. Everybody in my family is fire except my poor wife. Yes, I'm aware. I'm going to take a page out of your book.
I love that. I'm going to own that. I'm going to grab that for me. I'm aware. Because when someone gives a compliment, we're so trained to go, went, I'm aware. Yeah. And thank you, Max, for teaching me that.
Mm-hmm. So Max and I decide to commit to being a couple together, and he gets his own apartment, and we have two apartments for a year, and then
You shuttle back and forth.
With the dog.
You're like, is it worth it? Let's find out.
And then after a year, we moved in together, and then Labor Day 2016, we went up to the Cape. I've been to P-Town every year since pretty consistently, except for a handful of years here and there, since 1990.
Wow.
Which
wow.
Everyone's second like, generation right there. Second yeah, generation yeah. right there.
Yeah. I was 10 years old on the beach, on Herring Cove Beach.
Yes,
and that was back when it was a topless lesbian beach.
Wow. Yeah.
And we had the scout on top of the dunes who would look out for the ranger, and you'd just go ranger, and you would see the whole beach roll over so they wouldn't get tickets for being nude on the beach. And yeah. you would have, you know, the creeps come on the beach, and you would have mm-hmm. these like fat butch dykes shout them off the beach, off my beach. You know, it was just like controlled chaos. Like, and yeah. just like, I sort of think like that's why I love being a butch dyke now and like so identify with the butch dyke aesthetic, because like I would see these like, you know, half naked, powerful dykes just like owning
the their, beach.
owning the beach and like
and just and owning
protecting
themselves.
Others, yeah. you know, with their body.
Oh my God.
And
I love
so
this.
Beautiful oh. and so powerful. And I was like, that I love for this. Sure. You know,
that's, you had such a positive
yeah.
View of dykes as a child.
Oh yeah.
Which is very, very opposite to the, I feel like most of society, you know,
oh, yeah.
like,
in
as
our
a
generational.
Kid, in oh, our yeah. generation, you know, dykes were like, oh God, you can be a lesbian. Just don't become a dyke. Like it was like a thing.
It was a thing.
So take us to, okay, so you're together, you go to...
Wait,
Pete
so we're on this
together,
trip. Oh, yeah,
table.
So we're oh, in... Yeah, you're sorry, on the sorry, I keep getting distracted. We're in Cape Cod. We go to P-Town for this, like, amazing day together. I think this might actually be Max's first day in P-Town. First time in P-Town.
Yeah, yeah, I've never been.
And I
I'm
was,
not from
And
the
I was
United
just
States,
like,
so.
Welcome oh. to...
Where are you from?
No, it's a whole other story. Wait, let's finish
okay,
this. Okay, from Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Okay. What's up?
Yeah.
But that's
and
so
I'm like,
cool.
Welcome to gay heaven. Like, this is this is my childhood. And then we're just like driving back, and we both had this like total mm-hmm. moment of peace, you know? And we turned down the car radio or music or whatever, and we were just like, let's talk about getting married.
Yeah.
There was no like proposal, like, will you marry me? Like down on one knee with a ring. It was just this like pure moment of calm. Like, wow. Know in my heart that you're the one I want to spend the rest aww. Of my life with.
You listeners can't see what we're seeing. I'm sitting here like, and I get it because I'm married to my, and I love my wife, and I'm watching your love. And I'm like, I love everything. I love everything. Like everything, our queer families. It's so beautiful. Thank you for love and loving each other like yeah. this in out loud.
It was probably still to this day the most at peace I've ever felt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like in that conversation. I mean, of course, in true queer fashion, it's a conversation anyway. Like, hey. Fine. And yes. like, just want to check in how you feel about this, you know. But it was the most at peace conversation I've probably ever had, ever felt.
Honestly, we go back and we start planning.
Yeah.
And we were a little bit like, this is so overwhelming, whatever. And then November 8th, 2016 happens.
Yeah.
And Trump gets elected.
Gosh, yeah.
And we're like,
and we were like, not what I was just forgetting all of that.
It was a dark time.
I am not waiting. I have no idea what the future holds. I am rushing everything. And yeah. literally, we woke up on November 9th and went to the courthouse.
Yeah.
Wow. I like November 8th happened. We stayed up way too yeah. late.
I cried in the morning. I cried so hard in the morning. I couldn't believe it. I'd never
I was,
cried over an
I
election
like
in my life.
Shaking yeah. and sobbing and so close to throwing up all night as I was watching the numbers come in mm-hmm, all night mm-hmm. long from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Florida. And I was like, how could Nate Silver have been so goddamn wrong?
You are taking me back.
So mad at Nate Silver.
Just mentioning this is taking me back.
That
I know. Sense memory is real with that. Yeah.
Ooh, we had a babysitter watching our kids because we wanted to watch the election. Like, so we went out, we were having beers to watch it because we were so excited to have our first female president.
I know.
And then, just calling and
we woke up on November 9th. We emailed our jobs saying we won't be in this morning. We are going to the courthouse. And we went to the courthouse and we got our marriage certificate that morning. Mm. And I think we were both wearing I was wearing a pride shirt. And I think he was wearing his, this is what a trans person looks like shirt.
Oh my God, I love it.
And then what you don't know, well, what we didn't know was that that's just the first step. Then the next step is you have to get the ordained person to marry you. There's a two-step process to getting married. And you cannot do it within 24 hours or after 60 days.
So we had to get married
married within 60 days.
There it is.
All right, E. We have to talk about my favorite cosmetics brand, Thrive Cosmetics.
Yeah.
Cause is in the name for a reason. Their company serves good causes, E.
I know. And I can't wait to try their skincare products.
I know. They're good. They're good. Their beauty and skincare products are made with clean ingredients, meaning they have no parabens, no sulfates, no phthalates. Love that. They're certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And, E, every purchase supports organizations that help women thrive. So many wonderful causes that I can 100% get behind. Not to mention their products. Freaking work. I like them.
Well, I, for one, can't wait to try that mask you keep going on about. And the fact that it is vegan and no parabens, sulfates, phthalates. I'm excited about that because my whole life has become a natural.
Yes. The Overnight Sensation Brightening Sleep Mask. This is a miracle in a tube, folks. It's so easy. I put it on at night. I go to sleep and I wake up looking crazy refreshed. Miracle, literally, miracle. It restores, it hydrates, and rejuvenates your skin overnight. It also smells really good, I might add. I really love it.
Wow, that's why it doesn't look like you have two kids.
Right, well done, but thank you.
I love that idea. It seems easy. Because, you know, I can't be bothered with all the steps or the beauty products. Just not my swing. I love that you put it on and leave it on. Like, all I have. So basically, I just wash my face and then I'm done.
And then you're done. Yeah. Okay. You know what else is super easy?
What?
Their Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. You can tell Erin about it. This mascara makes your eyes pop. It makes my eyelashes really long, and it has this easy removal. They use this tubing formula, which makes the mascara slide right off your lashes when you take it off. All you need is warm water and a washcloth. You don't need soap. It slides off. There's no smudging. This mascara never smudges. I love it. I hate smudges.
Wow. Of course, once I don't wear mascara, all these things come out, right?
Right. But Erin can.
Yes, Erin can. I've wanted to try their products ever since I heard about their Bigger Than Beauty promise.
Mm-hmm.
For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
They have over 300 giving partners across the country supporting numerous causes. I just checked out their website, and many of these partners support survivors of domestic abuse, survivors of cancer, victims of human trafficking. They're doing the good work, okay? And it feels good to buy products that go towards helping people thrive.
Agreed. Well, you know what? You heard it here, folks. Now is a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/OCT.
Yep, that's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/OCT for 15% off your order. That's a lot, 15%.
Off your first order. Go get that. Go do it.
Go do it now.
Let's get to baby making. So how did you all decide to make your daughter?
Yeah. So it started in January 2018. We went to a doctor named Zoe Rodriguez, who is the leading trans gynecologist in New York City.
And I mean, it did take 3 months on her waiting list to get that appointment. That was not a next day thing. It was like, yeah, I can get you an appointment, but it's going to be a long time. And I was like, it's worth the wait, you know?
Yeah.
And so you had already decided that Max, you would be the carrier?
Yeah. You know, I'm sort of sometimes like, you know, 9 months is just 9 months. It's short in the lifespan of my life and our life. And it'll be fine. I very cherry pick who I surround myself with, people that are loving and accepting of me. So I did not have, honestly, like any issue with it. It was also, frankly, the most economical way to do it.
Right.
And that's a huge thing with family planning is it's expensive for queer people. It can be expensive for anybody. Yeah. It's just expensive. And I was like, you know what? I can save some money. 9 months. Let's do it. It'll just get through it, kind of muscle my way through it, but it does have an end point. Right. It's not forever and it'll be fine.
Wow. And because you already have to buy the sperm.
Yeah.
We have to buy the sperm and then there's figuring out how to get the sperm inside of you. And, you know, and we chose the cheapest option at the time, which was for us, which was IUI, which is still like
not cheap.
Not cheap. Like,
No, it's not.
Still not cheap.
$2,500 a pop, you know?
Oh, so it wasn't covered by some insurances cover IUI and they don't cover IVF and vice versa.
They didn't cover anything for us because we hadn't had proven
infertility.
12 months of
trying
sperm to egg contact did not work.
It's such bullshit. It's discrimination. And it's there needs to be a huge overhaul.
Yeah. I think there is a gay male couple right now going through the legal process of trying to change that. I think, but don't quote me on that. You can fact check that later.
I want to know, how did you all decide that you were going to use a sperm donor?
Oh, that was a very easy decision for me.
Okay, because of your
situation, there was absolutely no whisper of a chance that I was going to subject my daughter to even a hint that might happen to her.
Wow.
Okay.
And I went for an open ID donor because I believe that she should have some access. At some point, should she want it, but under no circumstances was I going to use a known donor. Yeah. This is the correcting mistakes that I think my parents made, probably making my own.
We all do. You know,
they're going to be in therapy for something. So you got to give them something. You can't be.
Exactly.
But Max, can I ask you, how did this affect what you were, because you had transitioned by this point. Is that correct?
Socially.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it affected me. It was more of an inconvenience, I would say. I was at the time, I mean, I work in kind of corporate America and I've been incredibly out at my job and basically gave them like no option to discriminate. And if they did, they were going to get sued like hell. And I also worked with good people, I will say. I worked with good people. So I knew that my job was a safe place for me to be pregnant. That was the number one thing I had to have before this would happen. And I did. So I felt pretty good about that. Right.
Yeah. I mean, his job is incredible.
So I already had that taken care of. That was the biggest thing for me. And then it was really just about talking to my therapist and being like, ugh, what happens if I get like, you know, dysphoria feelings and stuff. And it was really keeping my mind on the end game and knowing that like there's an end goal here. Again, it's a short period of time, right? 9 months is really not long in the grand scheme of things, and it's worth it. It's totally worth it. I also knew that I don't like involving too many people in my life. I do like to keep a little bit more privacy. And the more you open up various ways of getting pregnant, I feel like the more people can be involved in your life. And I wanted to keep this as personal, as insular to my family as possible, which was the other reason I was like fine with carrying rather than say like a surrogate or whatever. I also, as much as like adoption is an amazing option, to be scrutinized by an adoption agency about my family, I think would have pushed me over the edge. I think that would have been very, very hard for me to handle.
Right.
Take us into the 2.5-year-old that's in the other room sleeping. How was that process for you? And now,
was it IUI?
So it was what, January 2018 when we started?
January 2018. Yeah. And we didn't get pregnant until March 2019.
And she was our eighth IUI.
Wow. You just stuck with the IUIs.
Yeah. It was an insurance thing. I think it like made sense after the eighth that we would have done IVF. I don't remember exactly.
It actually made sense only after the 12th.
12th was it that?
Mm-hmm. I truly to switch to IVF. Wow.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But the doctor kept pushing us to do it after the eighth.
Max, did you use your egg?
Or yes.
Is it Cade's egg? Oh, Cade's Max's. Oh, right. Yeah. Because Cade, you said you are non-binary. Yeah.
So then we took a test and it was,
and Max was like, Max is very like play by the rules.
Yeah. Well, that's so why they're there. I don't understand. Yeah.
And he was like,
that's the Aries part. 12,
and it was day 12. And we're not supposed to test until day 14.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do it early? Might as well wait the 2 days and be disappointed.
And I was like, I can't. We're testing right now. You haven't gotten your period today. We're testing right now. And
and it was first positive for a little baby. And it was great.
I just remember that moment in the bathroom.
I was so freaked out. I was like, oh my God, college.
Wow, you jumped to college.
Max, pragmatic. Very pragmatic. I was like,
oh, we have no money for college.
So funny.
And then Max had a very relatively easy pregnancy.
Yeah.
I mean, in the
kind of boring in a good way, you know? You don't want it to be that exciting.
You want it to be boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we were sure also that we were having a boy.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
In the beginning, you know, we were sure of it. Just given the, we had heard stats that when you use frozen sperm, because the X sinks to the bottom, because it's a heavier chromosome, like the double X sinks to the bottom because it's a heavier chromosome, that you're more likely to have a boy, whatever.
Right.
You know, and then we did the, what did we do? Like the 20-week anatomy scan or something.
Uh-huh.
And 20. You were sure that we had seen a little poker outer. And
I don't remember that.
That was just an elbow.
So we were sure we had seen it. And then we had already planned this trip to Belgium. And while we were there, we got the call. And they said, you're having a girl. And we freaked out. We were like, no, can you check it again? Please, double check that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're
possible.
And they were like, no, we know how to read this.
Right. So they were doctors. Right. And you got your baby girl. But I want to know, because this has been such a full life experience with you.
Mm.
Now you have a baby, a 2.5-year-old.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I can barely remember what 2.5 was, except it was a lot of work and no sleep.
It's a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
What's been the connector for you two as you go through this having the baby here journey? Like, if this is your moment to share with other queer families, what is the nugget that you would share with us?
I have to say, we've just been a real team the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's just been like, we've been on the same page about, I have to say, pretty much everything. There's been complete open communication. And I honestly, just to go way back, we started couples therapy before we even got married.
And I think that
there was only a like when there was just this like tiny little thing that was like
tiny.
It was like when there was just like a real small issue in our relationship.
It's like a nothing issue in our relationship.
Yeah, just about like waking up in the morning and
really
like
does not matter. Like it is. You look at it now
in the grand scheme. Like now that you have a 2.5-year-old, it's like
because of going early in our relationship and learning more about tools on how to talk to each other about tiny things and who we are as people about the small stuff. It gave us the tools and the understanding about who we are to deal with the big stuff, the money, the kids, the dry spells in our bedroom, you know, like anything like that, you know, education, in-laws, any of it, you know, and it's been unimaginably helpful translating. Now we've been together over 7 years and we started seeing this therapist at like 6 years.
maybe 5 years ago. And it's been unimaginably helpful. And we've always been on the same page about how we want to raise our daughter. Everything from we want to sleep train to, you know, these are the books we want to read about
That's
parenting.
That's the best thing, then, by the way. The sleep training. I did that with my son. Sleep He's still a 10 to 12 hour sleeper. Because we did not give him a choice because we were sleepers. And you have to sleep in the house.
I'm going
to
throw a wrench in this, though. I'm going to throw a wrench. Yeah. We sleep trained our daughter. Never worked. It never worked. It doesn't work for every child. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I'm sorry.
It didn't work out for us. And so we did not do it with the second. And we're doing fine. We're doing fine. But so if you're out there and your child won't be sleep trained, it's okay. You're okay.
It has been the saving grace for us. Sorry, also, Jane. And we were like, sorry.
I mean, I think it's partially genetics. I think my kid just likes to sleep. I think she's just got that in her. But I mean, the point is, we started therapy. But not in a crisis situation.
Exactly. Not in a time where we were falling apart.
Right.
So that we have, you know,
you were intentional and proactive.
Exactly.
And we had a therapist to go back to who knew us already.
Right.
Knew us as people.
And is working with you as a team. So it feels like, even as you're talking to us, the team connection. Of course you're married. Exactly. Of course you love each other. Of course you have a kid.
Yeah.
But there's a very clear understanding of teamwork. And it seems like you understand who brings what to the pie, right? To the pie, the family. And that's a beautiful thing. And I'm excited.
It's also like without our therapist, we've been able to have check-ins with each other to say like, hey, are we on the same page about this? Yeah. Like,
I mean, look,
are you shouldering too much? Can I take something off your plate? Like, do you think that I'm doing too much work? Should I be coming home earlier? Should I dial back at my job? And it was because of those discussions between us about like, this is what I need from you as a partner, as a teammate, as a mom, you know, but it's also because we had started those conversations 5 years ago.
Yeah. Right. Well,
that's awesome.
You all are really making it work. Your story is absolutely beautiful. And it means the world that you came and talked to us.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys are putting the stories out there, you know.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful that you're putting many different queer stories out there to show how varied our community is.
Well, we're not a monolith.
And diverse. And,
We're all different everything.
A veritable rainbow, if you will.
Maybe that's where it came from.
See what I did?
You know what? That's a beautiful way to wrap it. We're a rainbow. Thank you for sharing your colors.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes.
This has been so wonderful, so beautiful. And I think that everybody at home is really going to enjoy this too, because, you know, watching the documentary, it wasn't done there. It wasn't done. We needed to hear more. So seeing that you're doing beautifully and you're raising your beautiful family and it's working out. Oh God, the kids are all right.
We're good.
The kids are all right. They're fine.
Both me and my own.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much. It means the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. I love them. I love them.
Right. Their energy, their chill, their haircuts. Like, it was all.
Haircuts were on point. They were flick. Is that even a term?
Oh, that's gosh. Not a term. Not flick. On fleek. On but fleek? We don't say that anymore. It was Gucci. It was Gucci.
That was Gucci. They were Gucci. But I just really love the way Cade has really taken ownership of the word dyke. You know what I mean? Like, hearing her speak about the strengths she saw in the dykes around her growing up and wanting to be like them when she grew up, that's some powerful shit. I love that she's just taking it ownership of it and is like living
Absolutely.
It. I really love it.
And their journey to parenthood was just beautiful. Max is the bomb. I learned so much from them.
Yeah, me too. So y'all, if you love this show and you want to represent your love for us and our beautiful families, you need to head to our shop and get some If These Ovaries Could Talk, the Queer Families Podcast swag, y'all.
Yes, we have all kinds of merch and this is the perfect time to get it because you want to get cozy with it in the fall. And we about to be in the fall. You can put our designs on hoodies, on sweatpants, on t-shirts, on mugs, on hats, on caps, on notebooks, t-shirt, anywhere you want.
Whatever they have in the store, you can put our design on. So you're going to go to a link in bio on our Instagram page and get to the store. Also, while you're there, make sure you're subscribed to us on Instagram. Duh. and don't forget to join us on...
No. It's follow. Follow us on Instagram.
You're right. And don't forget to join us on Patreon to help us create this super important queer content.
Absolutely.
Head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to sign up and get that bonus content. Boop, baby.
Also on socials, Ovaries Talk on the Twitters, Instagram, the Facebook, and the TikToks. If these ovaries could talk on the YouTube, support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. Don't forget, you get bonus us. And who could
I mean, I don't know how many times us? We can say that. I don't know how many times we can say that, but it really does help us. It super helps us, you coming and joining us on Patreon. Okay, well, I think that's it. I think Helen is giving me the, let's get the F out of here. Helen's like, I got to get to the bar. I'm still on vacation. All right, Helen, no problem. Okay.
Thank you, Helen. All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Out. Out, 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 out. We're out of here. We'll see you next week.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
A huge thank you to all of our Patreon members who help us make this show a possibility. We are so grateful to you. You have no idea. And we also have to thank our sponsors, Thrive Cosmetics and Lightstream. Don't forget to check out Lightstream's low-interest fixed-rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose, and I mean any.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.